Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Begin countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the 5 at 5 with Grant and Danny. The top 5 stories of the day.
Just after 5 o'clock, welcome back. Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. We will keep you company until 6:30 this evening. At that time, we'll get you ready for Capitals hockey as they look for a second win in two nights to start their season. Right now, the 5 at 5. Mow through some of these stories that have our attention today. Let's start with Ryan Kerrigan, who just joined the show. What is going to happen with Kerrigan? Will he be back? Has he been talking to Washington about getting a deal in place to avoid free agency? He was on the show just a few minutes ago, and that came up.
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I'm obviously not under contract right now, and no talks have taken place to get that done for me to be back here next year. So I mean, I don't know. So make of that what you will, but I don't know what's going to happen, and I guess we'll see come March, if I'm back here or where else I'll be.
Danny, he did say he will not be retiring. Mm-hmm. He did confirm that he would like to start and still thinks he can do so at a high level.
The fact that there's been no conversation to me it tells you everything. Here's what I think should have happened, just for the record. And I'm not criticizing, I'm just simply saying here's what should happen. Heart to heart, real quick, at some point, Ron Rivera calls him into his office or whatever, saying, thank you. Thank you for not making this harder. Thank you for buying in. Thank you for being a mentor to the two kids that are here to replace you, quite frankly. Thank you for being a great teammate, leader, everything else. We'd love to have you back, but we know it's probably not realistic. We know that you're going to want something. You should want something more, by the way, than what we can offer you. So if you want to come back at not that much money and be the third pass rusher, we would love that. But no hard feelings, we understand. And I'll give you the best letter of recommendation. I'll call any coach you want on your behalf. The fact that even that hasn't happened sort of tells you that I think that door is closed. Maybe I'm crazy, but it seems to me that they've already moved on.
I don't see him coming back. I don't think it's impossible. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to get an opportunity to start somewhere. And I find it really hard to believe that he won't. His resume says, and frankly, the efficiency he showed when he played, particularly early this season, says he can still start. He can still produce and be effective. And that's why I think he'll be able to get more money and more opportunities to get on the field elsewhere. Had some real nice things to say about Montez Sweat and Chase Young. As well, I got to imagine that makes it a little bit easier for him to not get to play when a couple first-round picks who are beasts, who are probably going to end up in the Pro Bowl like Kerrigan did four different times in Sweat's case, and of course Young has already been named to a Pro Bowl. When those are the guys that are getting those reps, it's got to feel a little bit better than if it's someone that you feel like you are decidedly right. Better than. Number two, 5 at 5, the Wizards, when are they going to play again? They have had two games postponed, and it sounds like another two on Sunday and Monday will be as well. They were supposed to play tonight. That is not happening. Fred Katz covers the team for The Athletic. He joined Pete Medhurst today here on The Fan.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. I mean, they had Wednesday's game against the Jazz canceled. They have tonight's game against the Pistons canceled, or I should say not canceled, but postponed. And,
sure.
And from my vantage point, you know, they're scheduled as of now to play a Sunday, Monday back-to-back, both games against the Cavaliers. I wouldn't be surprised if those games didn't happen, if those games got postponed until later in the season. And who knows after that? I mean, it really depends on how contact tracing goes, which is, you know, incredibly unpredictable. And you can't really say contact tracing went this way in one time. And, you know, as of now, the team's not doing basketball activities. I wouldn't be surprised if that persisted through the weekend. And I think the ultimate objective is just kind of the obvious.
His informed speculation came to fruition because Woj has subsequently reported that they will not play on Sunday or Monday. it's going to be a while before we see them, Danny, and I just think people need to get used to this. Hopefully this is the time the Wizards will be affected, and they'll be able to move forward with half of their roster back, ideally healthy, having ideally minor cases, and then they don't have to worry about getting COVID again the rest of the season. But this is going to happen for a lot of teams. I believe that. You're not in the bubble anymore. This is a different world for the NBA.
So tweets are flying in literally right now this minute. From the Wizards' own account, Tommy Shepard announces that we have 9 players right now in health and safety protocols and 6 who have tested positive for COVID-19. So that means you've got a 10 to 14-day quarantine for the positive tests. You've got confirmed positive tests for 6 guys. It means you're basically talking 2 weeks where there's nothing. Then you've got the health and safety protocols for guys that have been around them. That's your roster. That's your team. No games. You're not playing for a while. So, this
Here's
is a mess.
Here's my question to that.
And go ahead.
I don't know if you have a good answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Uh-huh.
So the number supposedly in the NBA is that you need 8 players available to play in a game, correct?
Right.
Let's say they can get to 8 with a couple of, like, practice squad types, 10-day contracts, Anthony Goldwire, you know, Courtney Hamiltons that they bring in here, let's say.
Yeah.
Courtney Alexander. I don't know who Courtney Hamilton is. Courtney Alexander. A weird shot from the University of Virginia, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Point of the dude's story is, do they make him play? Or do they say, you guys can't compete or win these games, so let's wait till you get some more of your actual Wizards NBA players back?
So here's the way I thought it was going to go. This is the whole point of having a G League. This is the whole point of having developmental stuff. The whole point of maybe keeping some guys separate, right? I mean, you could field a team with Cassius Winston, Anthony Gill, Pasechniks, and Isaac Bonga, and Garrison Matthews, and Mo Wagner. Now, with all due respect to those guys, that's not a great NBA team. But you could still field a team, and we could get games as scheduled. Instead of missing what will end up being a couple of weeks, a fortnight of games that costs other teams games, that's road trips, then they get back-to-back-to-backs or other kinds of crazy scheduling quirks. I don't know. I don't know where you say, sorry, you may not be competitive. This just maybe an unfair time where everybody's got to wear this. I don't know. I do not know the answer to that.
3 on the 5 at 5 as we move along. 3rd item, the Capitals. They're 1-0. They try to get to 2-0 tonight, and it was a who's who on the scoring sheet last evening. Just a roll call of some of their best players. Now, Ovi, not pictured, did have a couple of apples. Nicholas Backstrom, the first goal of the year. John Carlson had a pretty goal on a breakaway. TJ Oshie got on the sheet. Jake Varana tickled twine. Fun game to watch.
Taylor Hall moves it on for Eichel. Turn back, Oshie. Right on for Carlson. He'll breeze in. It's score! John Carlson!
That's what transition is all about.
Hold it here, Joe B.
Hold it here!
Beninati, Lachlan, NBC Sports Washington last evening. I can get used to 6 goals. You're not going to see it a whole lot. The 4 they gave up is too many. A couple of breakdowns, too. Like, Ilya Samsonov is going to, because you're the goalie, have to answer to that at some point. But you could go through them specifically and say, this one's not on him, this one's not on him. As an example, the first goal you allow on the PK, just a wide open back door with a breakdown and nobody's around. They still got some things to iron out with some new personnel. Zdeno Chara on the 3rd pair. Justin Schultz on the 2nd pair. It was not perfect in Laviolette's debut defensively, for sure.
Yeah, a lot to like and then a lot to go, oh, I remember that. I mean, with all due respect to Zdeno Chara, great career, I'm not sure that fits in the modern penalty kill, though, right? You know, blocking shots, I guess, is all fine and dandy, but the speed element, if you want people to harass and move around, he didn't move around so good when he was on the penalty kill, and you touched on it with that first goal. There was a 2-on-1 that Samsonov actually saved, bailed him out a little bit. Made a really nice save on. I thought he was solid in his debut. The 4 goals, obviously, you don't like, and that's going to go on his ledger, but I don't blame him for any of them. I don't know if you do.
Maybe not solely blame him for any of them, no. I didn't think he was bad by any means, and I thought he was steady. I didn't think he did anything spectacular, necessarily. I didn't think he was saving their bacon all night either. It was fine. It was one of those games where, you know, we talk about this with quarterbacks. Like, you were there. You didn't win or lose because of you. There's going to be games that they win because Samsonov stands on his head. There's going to be games they lose because he didn't give him a chance. I don't think last night was either. I actually do feel pretty good about Char on the PK. He was so good last year in that regard, just with his length, making up for the lack of skating and foot speed. But you're right, when teams are, you know, on the attack or they're in transition, that's a problem. I want that big body leaning on people, being heavy in a half-court offense, so to speak, you think about from basketball. Like, that's where he's going to be at his best. I think he was, I don't remember the exact number, he was top 10, somewhere in the back end of the top 10 in minutes on the PK last year. I can't imagine there's that much of a drop-off for him this year. But I get the point, and they still got a lot they got to figure out. Just my thing with them is the Flyers are going to be really good. You're going to have to deal with teams that are great in this Eastern Division. So when you play Buffalo, I need you to beat Buffalo. Like, you play them eight times, I want 16
Seven.
Points, something like that, in those games. And tonight's a chance to get two more of them. Let's go to item number four on our 5 at 5. The coaching carousel has been spinning rampantly. It stopped long enough for Robert Saleh to hop off. He is now the head coach of the New York Jets.
I think people get lost with offense, defense. And I'm going to use Kyle as an example. Kyle is an offense. Obviously, he's an offensive mind. He got here because he's one of the best quarterbacks or one of the best offensive coordinators this league has ever had. I think what people miss when they watch teams like ours, when they watch the Rams, and they watch these offensive mindsets or whatever head coaches, when they label them that way, I think what people miss is that these guys, Kyle Shanahan is an unbelievable leader with regards to tying an organization together with one vision.
Bad news for Sean McVay with this hiring. He might not be the most fit head coach in the league anymore. Guys like Raheem Morris,
shredded.
Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, I guess I should say, Mike's brother. Mike's going to be the offensive coordinator for Saleh. He's coming over from San Francisco. You're no longer the dude. This is a guy that's never missed a day in the gym. He looks like he could play. He just happens to coordinate.
And now be the head coach. I just like this guy a lot. And I don't know how successful he's going to be with the Jets. My sense is Newt Rockne, you know, Vince Lombardi, Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick. You combine them into one, Voltron-like character. That guy wouldn't be successful with the Jets at this point, just how toxic the organization is. But I think that guy's a good football coach. And it's going to be it's your handicap now. You touched on this. You made such an astute point at the top of the show. Because the trend is offensive coaches, these young, hot offensive guys with frosted tips and spiked hair, because that's the trend, you're going to lose your OC an awful lot if you end up with a decent offense, and that's going to be really challenging. But I think that guy is a good football coach. On a binary, 1 or 0, I think he's a 1.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would have had a hard time hiring him, to be honest, is because with him comes good young offensive coordinator. With good young offensive coordinator comes guy that will be a head coach soon, and you're about to be on an every couple of year situation for an OC. Or you don't have a good one, honestly. If you have a good one, they leave every couple of years. If you have a bad one, they stay. One way or the other, it's kind of a lose-lose. You know, I mentioned Mike Zimmer and the Vikings, who have had a different one on average every year for 6 straight years. It's tough. You know, when you are Mike Vrabel, you're a hell of a coach. Saleh's trying to become the next Vrabel. You're the defensive coordinator who is an awesome young head coach in this league. But Matt LaFleur got a head coaching job, and now Arthur Smith got a head coaching job. And your players, that turnover, it catches up to them at some point. I love the cut that we just played that Cookie chose, though, for this reason. I talked earlier about how I'm looking for a guy that's just smarter that gets receivers open. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur. I'm looking for Joe Brady, basically. And his point is, you can look for that, but you still got to be able to run a program. You still got to have a unifying vision. You still got to be able to get everyone on the same page. And his point is, that's why Kyle's special, not just because he's a great coordinator. That's what will sink or swim Saleh. You know, that's what will sink or swim Arthur Smith. You can be an awesome coordinator. We've seen it with people over the years. It doesn't mean you're a head coach. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's
fifth
a great
and point. Finally, and this gets us to what we'll get into next, which is this playoff weekend in the divisional round. Danny, some great games, including two old men, one final time, possibly.
Give
Drew Brees and Tom Brady going at it again in the playoffs.
You know, they won the division. They're a great football team, great coaches, great system, so many great players. Their defense is phenomenal. You know, top five defense basically in every category. Great rush, great cover linebackers. They blitz well. A lot of continuity in the secondary. A lot of ball hawks in the secondary. You know, they've been one of the top teams in the league for a long time, and they've had some tough playoff losses, you know, that are real fluke plays. But other than that, you know, there's not a lot of bad about this team. They're pretty spectacular.
I can't tell if Brady has any respect for the Saints or not.
Feels like he does. Feels like maybe he does. Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. I mean, these war of words, things that happen, you know, Chase Young saying he wants Tom Brady and then Brady being forced to respond, et cetera. Just, you know, it's stuff to spend the time or fill the time, rather, kind of in between the games. But this is my favorite version of Tom Brady, like the over-complimenting of the opponent. I remember he did that during the week that they played the Redskins at that point. I think the game they won 52-7, where he talked about how, you know, Sean Taylor intercepts every pass and their secondary sure is good and we think a lot about that defense, and then they wouldn't stop scoring. And Bill Belichick called a timeout when they're up like 45-0 to try to preserve the shutout. You know, just it's always kind of funny to me. He doesn't respect anybody. He wants to go kill you.
Joe Theismann's going to help us break these games down. We're going to take a good look at some of these terrific quarterbacks that'll be on display in the divisional round. As we continue, he's going to hop on with us on Grant and Danny on the Fan. The wait is over.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Almost over. The NFL postseason activity renews tomorrow. Rams-Packers 4:35 at Lambeau Field. And then at 8:15, the Ravens and the Bills from Orchard Park in New York. To talk about the playoffs and some of the QBs still alive, Joe Theismann is with us on Grant and Danny. Always a good day, always a good football Friday when we can talk to Joe. What's going on? How you been?
Good, buddy. Did you just say I'm still alive?
The playoffs still alive.
Playoffs are still alive. But you too. It's all true.
The quarterbacks that are still alive. You are technically still alive, Joe.
Yes, thank you very much. Hey, I've got a new little catchphrase for your show. It's Dinner with Grant and Danny.
We like that.
Oh yeah.
Dinner with G&D.
Yeah.
I dig it.
That's right. That's it. Join G&D for.
You know what we got to do? We got to broadcast from Theismann's and eat some ribs and eat some of those French fries. You guys got those big steak fries.
I just left the restaurant a little while ago. Been a first time for me to get down there a little bit because trying to be very conscious of COVID and sure. Had my Spirelli chicken and everybody's anxious. Got the book up as you walk in. You get a chance to pick up a copy on your way out or on your way in, whatever it might be. But yeah, I appreciate that. And you know, it's funny. I called yesterday, but you guys had just gone off the air because now you're like on like forever, which is great. it's great for us as listeners. It's not so great because I've been in your shoes. You know, I did morning drive here for 2 years in town. I was a disc jockey.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your slot when you were morning drive? Were you like 6 to 10, 4 hours, or what were you doing?
Six to nine.
Wow.
6 to 9. I used to do it over at WPGC many, many, many years ago. I loved it. I'm telling you, I know you guys do. You know, it's what the great thing about radio is you really can't mask much. You can't BS people. Your emotions come out. You know, Danny gets all excited. franchise.
That's true.
You know, you try and sort of run a level ship, and Danny's like, "Whoa, yeah, woo, yeah, wow, holy mackerel, wow." And, you know,
Joe has our show down to a T, by the way.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun to listen. But I was listening yesterday and listening to people talk about the quarterbacks in the playoffs, and you know, everybody talked about, well, what does Baker Mayfield have to prove, and is this an important aspect? Does this send Aaron Rodgers to another level? By the way, no. The guy that I think is under the most pressure is Patrick Mahomes. You're the reigning world champions. You played like crap a week ago. Now you've got something to prove in this football game. If Cleveland can run the football, because we can concede that Kansas City's defense isn't, you know, as stout as some of the others.
And has been playing badly at the end of the year, not peaking by any means.
No. And so if Cleveland starts to be able to run like they did against Pittsburgh, which I don't expect it, but if they do, those two running backs of theirs are a handful, and Patrick may as well he won't have to buy a seat on the bench. That's where he's going to wind up watching the game. And the other thing is there are certain things that you look at in football games. I'll give you an example. The last game that Kansas City played, Tariq Hill was invisible, wasn't there. And that is a big part of what they do. The big plays are a big part of that offense. They're not a 12-play drive football team. It's 4-5 down the field, boom, here we go. And I find that very interesting. It's a little bit like watching the Washington football team play Tampa, and you wonder why Chase Young didn't have a presence. And this is going to be something that he's going to be able to grow from. The left tackle, as soon as he came out, he put his hand on his chest. Where Chase used to be able to just turn the corner and take off, but what they were doing is they were stopping him dead in his tracks, and then he had to restart. He was always just a hair late. I was sitting down having dinner tonight, and I was thinking about him, and I thought a great guy for him to visit with in the offseason would be J.J. Watt. Because they're both speed guys, and he's a baby in this business of ours. And J.J.'s been there and done so many wonderful things that would be a great visit to get with somebody like that. And I always believe this. If you want to be really good at what you do, talk to the people that are really good at what they do and learn from them.
It's a good way to go about it. Joe, from the young kids, take Mahomes out of this, because I think you did a good job addressing him and what's on the line for him. But thinking about Goff, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, among the young kids. We'll get to the quote-unquote older guys in a moment. But among the young kids that are playing here in this pretty big stage, who's your favorite to watch and why?
Yeah, actually, Lamar's my favorite to watch. And the reason why is because I don't believe he's just going to be able to get it done with his legs. The area that he showed, I think, improvement in last year was throwing the football. I thought he threw the ball pretty well last week against the Titans. I think he's going to have to throw the ball better this week against Buffalo. Buffalo's defense is pretty good. Yeah, you've heard me say this, guys. Defenses win championships. Even Kansas City, they were behind in every game, every playoff game, including the Super Bowl a year ago, and had to come back on offense. But if you're going to win the games, and they had to have a defensive stop to be able to preserve the victory. I think that Lamar is the guy that I'm curious about. How well will he throw the football? How well will he get the ball down the field? That, to me, is the most curious one. Josh Allen is playing at a real nice, consistent level. Stephon Diggs has just added so much to the offense. We talk about Kansas City and Tariq. Stephon's done the same thing up in Buffalo for him. And the one thing about Stephon Diggs, he reminds me so much of Santana Moss. When Santana used to run routes, they're not the tallest guys, okay? They're under 6 feet. They're under 5'10". They might argue they're a little taller, but they seem under 5'10". But they have such a great catch range. And the ball gets to them, and they don't put it on the ground. Very seldom will you see them put the ball on the ground. But you'll see them make a ton of really tough plays. That's the first thing I thought of when I watched the last game with Stephon. That's Santana all over again, as far as I was concerned. So I like those two guys. I'm a little concerned about Jared Goff. He's played in these kind of temperatures a couple times before, didn't fare well, and that was when he didn't have pins in his thumb. So not only are you playing at another level. And I will tell you this, guys. Every game in the playoffs gets faster and faster, and the windows get smaller and smaller to throw the ball into. I think they're going to have to generate some kind of a running game against the Packers and give him a chance to throw the ball on third and fours and third and fives, not third and nines and third and tens. I think it'll be an issue. And as the game goes on, you have to wonder how well that thumb's going to hold up. And then Baker just has to go out there and relax. That's, you know, like I said, they've got some heck of a running backs there. And I think you have to ride them a little bit and then make the plays when you get the chance. You know, go back to last year's Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo had a chance to win the game late in the game with a post down the middle to Samuels. Missed it. They lose the game. That changes his entire legacy. You know, that one game makes a world of difference in your career. And to be able to call yourself and be part of a world champion makes a world difference. And especially when you're the guy pulling the trigger and you have the chance to make it happen. That's why I think Tom Brady's the greatest that ever played the game. He's done it with so many different combinations of people. Just phenomenal what he's able to do. And here he is again, knocking on the door one more time.
So you actually answered what I was about to ask. Joe Theismann is with us on Grant and Danny talking about the 8 QBs that are still alive this postseason as their teams vie for a Super Bowl berth. So I'll skip the part where I was going to have you kind of rank him in this big three if he's your GOAT. But then I'm curious about Rodgers and Breeze, where those guys come in for you among the best ever.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, he is the GOAT for the entire league. I think, again, you, and how many times have you heard me say this? Umpteen times. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. Now, the Tampa Bay-Washington game may not have been as close as it was had Godwin decided that he just wanted to put his right hand on his left wrist and his left hand on his right wrist. I mean, for whatever reason, he just – I mean, God bless him. You could just see him growing more and more frustrated and say, what do I have to do to catch the darn football?
And he's a great player, too, having that
so
game.
Good, usually.
He's normal. That's the thing is, what are you going to get out of them? Between Tom, Drew, and Aaron, Aaron is the greatest pure passer the game has ever seen because of his velocity, the tightness of his spiral, and the quickness of his release. Now, different quarterbacks have had one of those elements. No one's ever had it like he has it. Both Tom and Aaron throw the ball really hard, as opposed to Drew, who gets it done with his brain and quick releases. But if I was to rank them right now, I'd go Aaron, Tom, and Drew. That's the order in which I would rank the top three. As they are right now, the way they're playing. And then, Drew's coming back off of broken ribs. And, you know, remember last week when they put Taysom Hill in? They max protected. They put Tyson in at quarterback. They max protected. They ran a crossing route and a deep post. And had his hand not gotten hit, the deep post was there. Drew can't throw that. And it's a little bit like we talk about what can and cannot Alex do in this offense. I mean, you reach a point where the arm just betrays you. You know, Father Time has never lost a game. He's undefeated. And that's what you're faced with. And that's the thing that allows Tom Brady to continue to go at the level he goes at 43, is you haven't seen much of his fastball at all leave him. And as long as that's there, then he'll still – I think he goes to 45. I'm looking at him for at least one, maybe two more years.
Joe, will you go into Josh Allen for me? Start of his career, obviously making plays, big physical guy, could run around and sort of made up for some of his passing woes, but not terribly accurate, really struggled. He's turned into a completely different guy. Like the light bulb went on over his head, like cartoon style. He's unbelievable at this point. What do you see from him?
You know, Danny, you bring up a great point with him. And I also compare him to Ryan Tannehill. In the beginning, when he was up there coming out of Wyoming, I wasn't that impressed with him. I thought he was a little bit of a wild guy. Ran the ball a lot, but the throws were like, holy mackerel, they're all over the place. When Ryan Tannehill was down in Miami, nobody wanted him. You're terrible, get out of here. All of a sudden he goes to Tennessee, and you see the maturation process. With Josh up in Buffalo, what you've seen him is you've seen him be more patient. I like the way they sprinkle in the running game for him because you don't want to take somebody's DNA away from him. And they do the same thing in Baltimore with Lamar. You can't take that out of his game. You can't say, oh, we're going to protect you. No, you have to protect yourself. And then Josh is a big guy. He's going to run over people. But I think he's learned how to put touch on the ball. I think he's learned how to stay in the pocket and really, really focus down the field. He doesn't see what I call ghosts. That's when you see guys move around and nobody's near them, they're seeing ghosts. And so he's been able to really stabilize his game, and he's not trying to do too much. I think in the first couple of years in this league, he really tried to do everything at the quarterback position. And really what you are is a facilitator. You get the ball out of your hands into somebody else's, whether it's a handoff, whether it's throwing the football. You make the call at the line of scrimmage to give the offensive line the best chance to be able to block somebody. And that's what that's your job. And I think what he's done is he's become a more complete quarterback, which makes it look a bit more simple for him.
Joe, I got a mug in front of me, a picture of a mug that our producer found that we might have to buy offline. It's Walker and Hal with Joe Theismann Mornings on PGC.
Is it yellow?
It's still white.
Is it yellow because of age?
No, it looks good. I'm telling you. We might have to scoop this. We'll get three of them. We'll have a couple of coffees.
I love it. Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to do that with you guys. That'd be cool.
Well, enjoy the games this weekend. Always love talking QBs with you and throwing the ball around. Appreciate you, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Joe.
Guys. Take care. Remember, dinner with Grant and Danny. Got to have it.
I love it.
Love it. What are we eating?
Take care, guys.
See ya. There's Joe Theismann. I mean this, Danny, and I've said this before, and it helps that he's just a legend in this town and everything. I've said five before. I might say three. There aren't three better guests for a radio show than Joe Theismann. They're just not.
Just we covered everything. Like, Joe, what do you think of 28 different people covered Alex Smith, somehow referenced, you know, Tom Brady.
But here's what's different.
Goes all over the place. He's amazing. He's the best.
I'm not trying to Joan on anybody else while complimenting him, so I'm going to keep it just positive with him.
No, you're absolutely discrediting everyone else.
Right. But there are so many people who played and who were good and who either don't have a strong opinion and or have a strong opinion but don't still follow it. Like, he's breaking down Tyreek Hill's game log. Uh-huh. Theismann is plugged in like a microwave. Like, he still watches everything. And a lot of guys just have opinions and they rely on when they played and stuff. And that's fine. You could do that and get by. But he still studies it and watches it. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got like a Game Pass account for NFL.com and he's watching all 22 on Wednesday of the Titans to get the latest on Arthur Smith. Like,
absolutely.
When he talks, I listen. I'm a Joe Theismann guy. So glad to have him on the show in our first week. And he's right. Dinner time. With G&D. Maybe we can have some ribs at Theismann's. Next, let's give our thoughts on the games this
week. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Weekend and our burning questions, what we need to get answered as we watch those four games. You're listening to the fans. Grant, Danny, 106.7, the fan, been a heck of a show. If you missed any part of it, you'll want to podcast it when we're done. among our conversations worth grabbing today. Joe Theismann a few minutes ago was awesome talking playoffs with us. And Ryan Kerrigan joined the show at 425 to talk about his future. Confirmed that the team hadn't reached out to him and they haven't talked about a new deal. Does not sound like something that bodes well necessarily for his return. He thinks he can still start. He wants to start. He will not be retiring. Some of the things that he confirmed to us. All right, Danny, there are four games this weekend. We've already ranked them. We've covered them a few different ways this week. So let's just go one by one through them and break down some of the big storylines. Rams, Packers, 4:35 in Green Bay. It's going to be a frigid game at Lambeau Field, as is typically the case in January. Jared Goff playing with a broken thumb, with pins in that thumb. John Wolford not available. Now, the fact that Wolford started when he did at the end of the year and then was in play even with Goff well enough to be activated tells you everything you need to know about what Sean McVay expects from Goff right now. He had some intrigue and was enamored with Wolford because he could run around a little bit and make a couple plays and maybe make their offense multidimensional. Goff has had a disappointing season. You could even make the case a tough couple of seasons since they got to a Super Bowl with him soaring in that passing game taking off going back a few years ago. On the other side of the ball, for the Packers, very balanced. This is the number one scoring offense in the league, and they're going to deal with the number one scoring defense in the league. The Rams are here because of Aaron Donald and that pass rush, because they're so good on the defensive end, coming off a game where they had a pick six. But Matt LaFleur's offense will have its hands full. They've been able to answer the bell pretty much all year long. Okay defense for Green Bay with a special offense. We'll see if it's enough. If LaFleur gets to the conference championship game, there's a chance that a third former Washington assistant could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl for a third consecutive season.
Yay, so fun. Yeah, way to go. All right, anyway, to this one, though, for me, this is about what the Rams' offense does. I really believe that. If Green Bay's defense, which you mentioned, it's not as good as it was last year, just statistically. If they're opportunistic, though, if you get a little bit of action from this pass rush, if you get yourself a turnover, sack, fumble, interception, sort of game-changing kind of play, I think Green Bay is going to end up winning this game. Because these two units, as you alluded to, Rams defense, Green Bay offense, respectively, are excellent, as good as the sport has to offer at this point. So if you're able to get, you know, Za'Darius Smith or you know, Preston Smith or somebody kind of going in this game for Green Bay, then I think you can wreak some havoc. For the Rams, the key to me is Cam Akers. I think very little of Jared Goff at this point. If Akers is able to establish and they kind of get going in that regard a little bit, you can work a lot of stuff off that, whether it's little dink and dunk, bootleg type stuff to their tight ends. Get Robert Woods on some sweeps and kind of have him go near and short, and same thing with Cooper Kupp. I just don't think the Rams' offense is very dynamic at this point. I know they put up 30 points this past week against Seattle, aided by some defensive energy there. But I really think very little of this group. Down the stretch, they struggled. And it's about, if they can muster enough, I think they could slow Green Bay's offense down. If they can't, Green Bay's going to win by a couple touchdowns.
Packers -6.5 is your betting line. I actually like the Rams to, while losing the game, cover that spread. I think it's going to be a 4 or 5 point game. Their defense keeps it close. Favorite matchup of the entire weekend, by the way, for me, Davante Adams, Jalen Ramsey. Adams, 149 targets, 115 catches, 1,370 yards, 18 touchdowns this year.
So good.
Like he was some big receiver at Alabama or something. Devontae Smith, who just couldn't
be covered. Smith numbers.
Preposterous numbers. But Jalen Ramsey has shut great receivers down this year and throughout his career. So I love that. I think the Packers win. As I said, I think it's Rams +6.5, though. How about you?
I like the Rams. I like the Packers to cover, actually. I think they win by more than a touchdown.
All right, second game of the day tomorrow night, Ravens, Bills. This is your closest spread of the weekend, 2.5 points favoring the Ravens. They've got the momentum, weirdly enough. Favoring the Bills, I should say. But the Ravens have the momentum, oddly enough, with the way they finished this season. A lot of people, I think, called them correctly. They will not be as good this year as they were last year, but they might be a tougher out when you get to the playoffs. They might be peaking at the right time, and that's exactly what happened. Their offense is not as dynamic. Their running game is not quite as good. But over the last couple of weeks, they got back to what works, and that is they ran for 400 and 200 yards. J.K. Dobbins is an upgrade over Mark Ingram. Being able to turn to Gus Edwards in short yardage and the goal line has been huge for them. And Lamar Jackson, we've seen, he can put the cape on still. He can play hero and make a play when the chips are down. He'll miss a throw that looks like something you have to have, and then he'll make up for it with a 27-yard scramble. On the other side, the Buffalo Bills. Defense showed major warts this past week, Danny, against the Indianapolis Colts, but Josh Allen is an MVP candidate and has gotten them here. They don't have much of a running game. They just lost the running back to injury. Stephon Diggs, as Joe Theismann just talked about, was one of the three best receivers in football. Who do you like?
I like the Bills, and both these teams are hot right now. I mean, you look at what Baltimore did to close the season. The only loss that Buffalo has had since October was that DeAndre Hopkins Hail Mary that he pulled from his tuchus. I mean, this Bills team is really, really good. Offensively, they're humming at this stage. I know they put up 27 against the Colts, and that defense showed some warts, as you kind of alluded to. But people are kind of talking past them in this ballgame. They've won seven straight in their own right. I think they end up winning this game at home. I wonder how Lamar is going to throw the ball in the cold.
What gives you confidence they're going to stop the run? I worry about that defense.
Yeah, I worry about it too, to be honest with you. I think they get a lead, and I think they're able to move the football consistently, and then at some point Baltimore's going to have to throw, and then that fatal flaw is going to kind of come through. I don't feel great about them stopping the run, by the way. I think maybe one or two possessions at some point you do, and I think that offense is going to hum in this game. I really do.
If the Ravens lose, I think it's going to be because they can't either throw the ball or they turn the ball over a couple times. Picks, fumbles, what have you. Yeah. I actually think they win. I know that's an upset, but not by a ton, right? Plus two.
Would
and
be
a half.
Tremendous, no.
But I like Baltimore. I just think the momentum that they've got. And the Bills, it's a win for them. You know, they feel like they got to win a Super Bowl with what they've got to make it worthwhile. But the year ends right now. I think that fan base feels great, and they come back to the drawing board next year thinking it's time to make the leap and win a title. Whereas the Ravens, they've been knocking on the door on the precipice of a championship run, being eliminated early for years. And I think if you're John Harbaugh and some of the veterans on that defensive side like Calais Campbell, I mean, you lose, that's a backbreaker, because this is a team that could win a title right now, and they don't have the window necessarily that Buffalo does, per se, particularly on defense. All right, let's go to the Sunday slate. First of the two games, the Browns and the Chiefs. Pretty interesting take by Theismann, saying Pat Mahomes has got some pressure on him as a former MVP and coming off of a Super Bowl to try to get back there. They are 10-point favorites over Cleveland. That's one reason they might have all the pressure on them, is because nobody thinks the Browns can win this game outside of Cleveland's facility. I do think the Browns run the ball, and I think they hang with the Chiefs. Kansas City's defense is not very good, and people sleep on how bad it has been lately. I mentioned this earlier, but over the last, I think it was 11 games of the season, they were in the bottom two in the league in EPA defensively, expected points added. So give me the Chiefs to win. I don't think there's ever a doubt that they're going to win in this game, but I do think the Browns cover 10 points. I'm thinking the score is something like 34-26, something like that.
It's hard to not play meaningful games for a long time and then ramp up and play a meaningful game again. That's an underrated thing that happens in sports. The last big game, and I put this in quotes, that this group played was December 20th against the Saints. Right. Since then, they've been kind of on cruise control around Christmas holiday, New Year's. You get the week off as the number one seed. They haven't played a game that matters in a while, and Cleveland has. I mean, they've been fighting for seeding, fighting within the division, a couple matchups against Pittsburgh to make sure they get in, etc. They got some momentum, Cleveland does. I think Cleveland covers. I think Kansas City ekes this one out, but I do think Cleveland gets inside that 10-point spread.
Sounds like we agree on how the game is going to play out stylistically as well. I do think it's a bad matchup from that regard. Like, this team, they're not going to finesse you. They're not going to try to make throws with you. It's just, we're more physical. We're going to push you around. And at the end of the game, you're going to be tired. The Chiefs are just going to make too many plays, and their offense is too good. You saw it with Pittsburgh being able to come roaring back against the Browns. They lack the playmaking ability on the back end, I think. And they lack the ability to cover against some of these weapons the Chiefs throw at you. Andy Reid and his staff just going to be a step ahead of Kevin Stefanski and his. All right, final game of the weekend. Your favorite game, you've said.
Yeah.
My favorite is the Ravens and the Bills. This is certainly high on my list, though. Bucks, Saints, 41-year-old Drew Brees, 43-year-old Tom Brady. The Bucks are three-point dogs. New Orleans has blown the Bucks out once and then handled them in week one. I dismissed that first game, but the second game meant something to me. Clearly the Saints are a bad matchup for Tampa Bay. Can they find an antidote?
I think Tampa does it, and I don't know why I think that. I've got zero confidence, or I shouldn't have any confidence, based on the matchups that you said. I'm with you, week one, less of a sample that's relevant to me. But that week nine, it's hard to unsee. New Orleans just beat the tar out of them. I think New Orleans right now on offense is doing it with card tricks, smoke and mirrors, and hope. I don't think they're particularly good on the offensive side of the ball. I think Tampa finally, this right now, this minute, can take advantage of that with their defense. I'm assuming Devin White's going to be back for them. I think that's going to help. And I think they make just enough plays on offense against an epically good New Orleans defense, by the way. That defense is outstanding. It may be the best in all of the postseason non-Rams division. Maybe they might even be better than the Rams, according to some folks. They're really good, and they've frustrated Tampa a lot. I think maybe Tampa's got one or two more plays in there. But to me, I'm just excited about the 70-some years of quarterbacking we have going in this game.
The Saints have no ability anymore, I don't think, to come back from down substantially. So they have to stay and hang close with Tampa Bay because their passing game at this point is not good enough, and they are not explosive enough. Michael Thomas coming back finally last week catching a touchdown, but Drew Brees' inability to push the ball down the field with zip. They've got to stay balanced. It's going to be plenty of Alvin Kamara. It's going to be a lot of short stuff in the passing game. I think that happens, though. They're going to pay for having not had to really push themselves last week against the Bears early, maybe get off to a slow start, maybe be down 10-7, 13-10. But I think in the end, their defense is a championship-level group, and I think that's the difference. Both offenses are going to hum at times, but the Saints' defense is going to make a play or two, get a sack here or there, create a takeaway, where at the end of the game, they'll be the difference. So give me New Orleans -3. I think they win a 4 or 5-point game against the Bucs. It's going to be an awesome weekend of football. We can't wait to watch it like the rest of you. Grant and Danny on the Fan, couple of Nats notes that have come out, as well as a thought or two on what Tommy Shepard had to say about the Wizards dealing with COVID. And we will say goodbye to Tommy, his final segment on the show after many, many years of helping us, the Sound Machine. Top 10 audio clips from him that he has put together. All coming up in the final minutes of D&D.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.